Your Monday Night Raw review is coming up in just a minute, including thoughts on the AOP and Seth adding a fourth member to their yet unnamed faction, R-Truth segment with Brock Lesnar, Liv Morgan and Rusev now teaming up next week. A lot to get to, but first, a word from the sponsor, and then we're going to get right into the Monday Night Raw review. Stay right here. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you guys for joining me on this Tuesday, January 14th. 2020. Thank you guys for joining me as we are rolling into the new year, and it's going by pretty quickly, right? I mean, we're 2 weeks in, and we're less than 2 weeks out from the Royal Rumble. Less than 2 weeks out, and it's really crazy that we are this far into the season and into really WrestleMania season. I consider WrestleMania season this moment, right? Things are about to heat up quickly. I remember just feel like it was yesterday talking about how it's 6 weeks into the Royal Rumble. What are we going to do? Oh my God. And now here we are. It's a little bit more than a week, or a little less than 2 weeks rather, until the Royal Rumble comes to us from Houston. So a lot to get to. And if you're joining me on video, welcome to everybody joining me on video here as we continue to evolve and continue to give you guys more content, the stuff you like. And this is exclusive to patreon.com/WWE podcast as I'm expanding content to my listeners and members there. So guys, thank you so much. I appreciate your patronism. Is that patriot? I don't want to say patriotism. That's not right. Patronism, I guess, is the right word. And if you'd like to join, you can head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can get all of this content to delivered to you for just $1 a month. And it's pretty cool. All access to all ad-free content, and including these videos that I do once a week on my Monday Night Raw reviews. So moving off the schedule for the rest of the week, I'm going to be doing and starting a three-part series for my wrestling nostalgia, as it was brought up to me by one of my co-hosts, Anthony, who said, "Hey, have you ever done The Rock versus Stone Cold in wrestling nostalgia?" And I'm like, "No, how the hell have I not done The Rock versus Stone Cold?" Maybe because it was too obvious, but it is going to be a three-part wrestling nostalgia series starting tomorrow. And even if I have a co-host, what I'll probably do is have a part wrestling nostalgia, part weekend review so far with my co-host tomorrow. And then Thursday and Friday are NXT, AEW. Saturday is back with my regular scheduled co-host, which actually is Anthony again, who is popping on the show quite a bit. That's a good thing. And so it is going to be a packed week. I've already got my my NXT review show for Blackpool 2 that Chris did for us and for you guys, the listeners. So, my God, we have 7 shows this week as we roll into a very busy time of year for wrestling fans. And actually, we're adding a seventh show. So I know we have seven shows this week, which was kind of an anomaly because of the Blackpool pay-per-view. But we are going to have a seventh show added on a consistent basis every week. And I think I've got my selection down to who I would like to bring on to the team. So I'll be making that announcement in just a few days. But guys, it's Monday Night Raw, and that's what we're here for. And overall, I'd say the show was a good show. And you know what? Monday Night Raw has been a good show for quite some time now. Monday Night Raw has been a consistently solid show for months and months now, with the occasional stinker, and certainly every show has its head-scratching moments, even with Paul Heyman at the helm. There are certainly some moments that you just go, huh? Right? You just go, wait what? but this show was full of great wrestling, great progression in storylines, obviously headed up by, in my opinion, the end of the show that saw Buddy Murphy, of all people, joining Seth in the AOP. And it made perfect sense, in my estimation, because it gives Buddy Murphy a purpose coming off of losing three in a row to Aleister Black. He sat there after he lost and just seemed to be in a trance. And Seth said, come on, I need your help. He got the help. And Seth, AOP, and Buddy Murphy stood tall after the fist fight was over. And Kevin Owens went down. Samoa Joe went down. Big Show eventually did go down. And so now we have a fourth member to the AOP and Seth and the Monday Night Messiah, which, God, I love that. I mean, I just do. And Seth feels so comfortable, doesn't he? He just feels like it's as if his career has gotten a massive shot in the arm. I continue to sing the praises of this story. I continue to sing the praises of Seth, AOP, and now Buddy Murphy. It's a nice wrinkle, and hallelujah. Well, I don't know if the H is silent. We have an official faction in WWE. When is the last time we saw a faction, a stable, and a stable defined by this definition of four people or more? I can't remember the last time that we had an official stable in WWE, and I'm excited about it. I don't know what I'm assuming they'll come up with an official name. I'm assuming that that is something that is forthcoming, and I hope it is, led by the Monday Night Messiah, with Seth being the guy that kind of stands back and let everyone else take the heat. And Buddy Murphy is, I think, going to be a great addition. It pulls him out of the abyss that he could have fallen into had he just, you know, lost his third match, gone, you know, back up the ramp with his head between his legs, and we don't hear from him again. And or maybe next week he puts on a good match and just kind of stays in that. He puts on good matches, but he's never really going to make it to the next level. And clearly, this is not going to be the case for Buddy Murphy. I could not be more excited for Buddy Murphy. It's a great pairing, as I said. I really have no qualms about this. The question then becomes, if it's going to be KO, Samoa Joe, Big Show, and who against these four? And I don't know if Seth is going to continue to add. I don't want it to be added to the level of the Nexus, all right? As great as we all remember the Nexus and how cool it was, I think it had a lot of nostalgic factor because it was so different at the time. But the characters didn't have a lot of individual depth. It was just kind of a bunch of guys. Outside of Wade Barrett, it was just a bunch of guys together that didn't have a whole lot of personality. And that's not what I'm looking for from these guys. So I don't know if I'd go with a fifth. I'd stick with a fourth, and I wouldn't go more than five. But I would assume for now that Seth is done adding. But it's interesting to see what will be the yin for the yang. What will be and who will be that fourth member? Some people think it's going to be Kane. I've seen rumors of that floating around, that Kane could be coming out and I guess joining, but I don't know at this point in his career if really it's needed. just as Big Show really wasn't needed, but it's still exciting to see. And honestly, I'm excited to see Big Show back. I said that last week, and I still feel that way this week, that I felt like I was rooting for him. Is he extra slow in the ring? And do his knees look like they're, you know, concave in towards each other? Yeah, we all know his knee issues are well documented. You know, look, he's a 7'2", 380-pound man that has four decades of wrestling in him. And when I say that, what I am referring to is that he has competed now in four different decades: the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and the 20s. So hats off to the Big Show. And again, he is a step slow. Sure, whatever. Don't care. Big Show's slow to begin with. So the bar with Big Show, the good thing about Big Show returning for his own sake, is the bar was set so low anyway that even if he's a step slower, you just attribute it to, well, that's kind of Big Show's style, right? You don't even really notice. But again, I'm excited. If this is just kind of one last run for Big Show, great. People crap on Show at times, and he has had the most face and heel turns in the history of the company. There is somebody out there that's actually tracking that. I think it's like 40 some turns. But I don't care. I'm in it for Big Show. It's a nostalgic act. I don't care if he's slower, and we all need to enjoy the fact that this guy's a legend. I mean, is he Andre the Giant? No, it's not fair to compare him to the Giant. And I think that Big Show is underappreciated at times, and I'm just glad to have him back. I just really am, and I know people may or may not disagree with me, but that's how I feel. A lot more to get to, a ton more to get to, actually. We're going to do that in just a second. But first, guys, don't forget to check out the website at WWEpodcast.com, where all these podcasts go up. Video may be coming soon. I have a video section, just nothing is there at the moment. I'm doing video exclusive for Patreon right now, but I may end up doing some kind of spur-of-the-moment video for the website, and maybe doing kind of while I'm at work, right? Because I like seriously have zero time to do actual separate video podcasts. I'm already crunching the time as it is to pump out three shows I do, plus the four shows that my team helped me do every single week and put it on Patreon and so forth. I will probably be doing, if I can, on my break, on my lunch, just popping in to give you guys some thoughts on what's going on in WWE. Again, they're not going to be full-length podcasts, obviously, but they will be podcasts that quick thoughts and things that are going on in the business, if I can find some time and some spare time to do that. And I got to find my lapel mic whatever you call those mics that clip to your shirt. I can't think of it. It starts with an L. It's some kind of French name, I feel like. I can't think of the damn word. Anyway, I got to find one of those so that it doesn't sound like I'm, you know, in an echo chamber. But anyway, the video should be coming soon on the website. And if you guys are interested in that, let me know. Head on over to my Twitter feed, by the way, at the WWE Podcast, which is where you can get in contact with me and where you will find the most up-to-date thoughts and things that I have on my Twitter feed. So let's get to one other thing, and for just a moment for this first segment of the show. And that was the Open, which was Randy Orton, AJ, and Drew McIntyre in a triple threat. And the announcers had framed it as Randy Orton is going to be facing, well, they were under the impression Randy Orton was going to be facing AJ Styles, and then Drew McIntyre interrupts, and it becomes a triple threat match. They all talk about winning the Royal Rumble, and as they should, as we are freaking, what, how many days out? 13 days out from the Royal Rumble. And I can't tell you how excited I am for this year's Royal Rumble. I just am. So many factors and things that we're going to cover and grind down into a fine powder over the next week or so. But nonetheless, AJ and Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre all talk about winning the Rumble. I really enjoyed the match. I will say that. I enjoyed the match. I also enjoyed Randy Orton coming out there to say that he was told to say excitedly, welcome to Monday Night Raw. I love this because I don't feel as if this was something that was necessarily scripted about scripting things. It felt like Randy just kind of going off the cuff a little bit because he can. Randy Orton is a legacy star. He has got, for all intents and purposes, as close to immunity at this point in his career and his stance in the company as you can probably get, as one could possibly get, right? So it was. I really love that because how many times have we seen a general manager, doesn't matter who it is, Corbin, Kurt Angle, The Authority did it for how many freaking years it felt like. And then all come out every single Monday night and say, welcome to Monday Night Raw. It's just like it's a corporate just requirement. It's a corporate quota that you have to meet every single time to welcome people to Monday Night Raw. Can we start the show a little bit differently? I don't need to be welcomed to Monday Night Raw other than by the announcers. Other than by the announcers, which I'm totally fine with because that's their job. But I'd like to see the show itself change a little bit in terms of structure. I don't need to be welcomed to Monday Night Raw every effing time. But nonetheless, Randy said that he was told to excitedly say it, which made me laugh. Just a little tidbit. But this was a good match. And it really was the best outcome, the best finish that you could have asked for. You had AJ going for the RKO. You had Randy hitting the Styles Clash, which he did a pretty good job of, by the way, for never doing it on live television that I know of. And Randy Orton eventually hit the RKO. Drew McIntyre hit the Claymore on Randy and then just took the pin on AJ for the victory. It protects Randy. AJ's been losing as of late anyway. And it also bumps up Drew McIntyre, who sorely needs a win outside of his enhancement talent victories that he's been getting over the last couple of months. So I like this. I'm not going to get too excited yet about McIntyre's win because nothing was really on the line other than the all-important momentum. Got to say the word momentum, by the way. I think it's a corporate quota to say it. I think it's about 16 times per Monday Night Raw. You have to say the word momentum or you will be fined. The word momentum, the phrase sending a message, or making a statement, you gotta say those things or you'll be fined. I mean, it's just what corporate is saying, hey, you gotta do it. What they also like to do is make sure that if it's in a city that they don't deem worthy of their mention, don't mention it, right? I talked about this last week on for SmackDown when they did not say that they were in Evansville, Indiana. They just mentioned the state because Evansville is, well, where the F is Evansville, right? Which is their thinking. And now this week, they didn't mention once, outside of R-Truth, and I'm going to get to that in a minute too, outside of R-Truth, they didn't mention once where they were. And I'm not talking about, oh, we're in the University of Kentucky. Oh, or like they do when they're near New York City, but not really. They say, we're in the shadow of New York City. And they're like in Uniondale, New York or something, because they just would like to. We're close enough to the city. We can say we're right there. We're in the shadow of it. I don't know. They have this kind of complex that if they say that they're in a city that they don't deem big enough to be in a city worth mentioning, that it's going to be a bad perception on the audience, or that they personally feel that it's, we're just going to hide it. I don't know. So outside of R-Truth, so let's get to that because I'm going to start ranting about it as I did, and I'm not going to do that because I don't want to repeat myself. With the segment with Brock Lesnar. With Brock Lesnar coming out there, and I know I'm jumping around a bit, but that's kind of the way it works here. With Brock Lesnar coming out, we did the typical Brock stands there with the championship. Paul Heyman cuts A-plus promo, and they leave. Well, in this case, it was a little bit different. We had Paul Heyman coming out there and really just talking trash, right? He starts trashing the audience for their... Listen up, y'all, which is, you know what? Every single time they go to the southern states, it's well documented that Vince McMahon is not a fan of southern culture, that he doesn't like the hillbilly southern accent peoples, I should say. Jim Ross has mentioned that several times, that Vince McMahon wasn't a fan of his southern accent. That's a fact. Every time he goes there, they have to make sure that somebody rags on the southern culture or stereotypes or whatever, their accents, what have you. And we got this again with Paul Heyman, who actually, of all people, who started to just mock the southern slang and things like that. Whatever. I personally don't, I mean, I don't live in the South. I'm not offended. I don't really care anyway, but it's just something it's such in the mind of Vince McMahon. It's ingrained in his brain that this comes out every single time that they're in the South. Let's move on. But I like how Heyman in this promo, he talked about spoilers and how they are the longest running streak in WWE. It's and how he didn't just mention his own streak, but he mentioned the streak of The Undertaker and how that streak is over and WrestleMania 30, it was broken. That was awesome. I love how they're continuing to own this. And furthermore, amazing how it has been 6 years since The Undertaker lost. It feels like 2 or 3, doesn't it? 6. Just let that sink in. 6 years. I was 28 years old. I was in my 20s the last time when the Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. I don't know. So just apply that to your own life and think about that. So R-Truth came out and talked about his childhood hero, John Cena, taught him never to give up, which is why he'll be entering the Royal Rumble. And then Lesnar cracked up and Heyman seemed really annoyed. And Truth said that it's not the size of the fight and the dog, not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight and the dog. And that he's, though he's a big dog, Truth knows he can send Paul Heyman flying over the top rope, thinking that Paul Heyman is actually going to be in the Rumble. Lesnar continues to laugh. And after it was clarified that Lesnar was going to be the one in the Rumble and not Paul Heyman, R-Truth then undeclared himself for the Royal Rumble, which, by the way, did people forget to put the word "the" in front of the Rumble, right? How many times did R-Truth say, "I declare myself out of Royal Rumble"? Even I think Vic Joseph said that. Did people forget the word "the"? I don't know, a little nitpick, but R-Truth said it like 4 times. Vic Joseph said it. I'm going to be in Royal Rumble. No. You're in the Royal Rumble or the Royal Rumble match. I don't know. Just something I noticed. But R-Truth ended up getting an F5 and left. So I like at least that they did something different here. R-Truth was clearly the butt of the joke. And for a moment, I thought after he F5'd Truth that Lesnar was going to just bring out a referee and say, "Hey, give me that 24/7 championship." But I think at that point, I mean, what are you going to do with Lesnar as the 24/7 champion, right? You can't, because not just because Lesnar is way above that championship, which he is, but we don't need to accentuate that. We already know that. More importantly, the logistics of it, you don't want Lesnar in a comedy act of people chasing him around. You're not going to have him running anyway. And then who's going to beat him? And Lesnar's barely there. It just wouldn't have worked. For those thinking that he could have captured the championship, he could have. And maybe the way to get rid of the 24/7 championship, which is if you're at the end of that life cycle for that title, just have him take the belt and then just never see him again. Right? Just have Lesnar, he's on his farm in Minnesota. No one's going to bother trying to get after him. And he just is the eternal 24/7 champion, right? So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break here, and for those on video, it's going to be just a little bit of nothing, right, for about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, but for those who are listening, we're going to take a quick break, and then on the other side, I've got lots to talk about with Lana and Lashley, Liv Morgan, right, who just continues to kind of be there, and Rusev loses again. I'm not really sure. Charlotte Flair and Sarah Logan. There's some other really interesting things here. So we're going to get to that in just a moment, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos. And you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com. All right, guys, welcome back. And thank you for joining us again. And so let's talk a little bit about some other things going on here. And this Bobby Lashley, Lana, Rusev, Liv Morgan four-way that is going on. I don't hate this, but it's just not my flavor. You know how I feel about it. Some people love this kind of stuff. They live for this just larger than life, wacky Jerry Springer on steroids in a wrestling environment type of story. That's not me, but I live with it, and it's not the worst thing I've seen, and I cover it because it's my job. Now, what do I think about what's going on here? So, Rusev loses again to Lashley with the tired old, I'm distracted by what's going outside the ring, and I lose. And this is how he lost. This is how Rusev lost at TLC to Bobby Lashley, was being distracted by Lana. He gets distracted by Lana again, and then gets distracted by Liv Morgan and Lana on the outside. This allows Bobby Lashley to get a spear in and get the victory. So Rusev loses again to a guy that he said that he is glad him and Lana are together. They deserve each other. I'm done with them. And then continues to stick his nose into things. So now you have Liv Morgan in there who's hurt by Lana because they were apparently in love. Rusev, who's there just to beat on his ex-wife's new husband. And now next week we're going to have a mixed tag, not an intergender. Although don't worry, the women will be able to hit the men and the men can't retaliate. Don't get me started on that. But now you have this mixed tag team match, of which I would assume that Lana and Lashley will lose, because number one, Lana is probably the worst woman in the WWE in the ring. She's just not good. Okay. She's just not. We've seen Lana in the ring. And you know what? Maybe I'll reserve that judgment until I see her in the ring next Monday. But from what I saw the last time she was there, she wasn't great. I don't think she ever won. Maybe she did win one. I remember her losing. I think it was against Naomi. She might have lost. And I don't feel it with Lana in the ring. And again, maybe she's made strides and leaps and bounds inside the ring, and maybe she's been down training at the Performance Center or wherever, or maybe going to the arena early and getting some lessons in. I don't know. But from what I saw, if in fact it is as just business as usual with Lana, I'm not excited to see her in the ring. And I mean, Liv Morgan, probably a step above her. I know she was in the in that faction or that group with Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan, which is now disbanded. But I don't know. I would assume that Rusev and Bobby Lashley are probably going to do most of the heavy lifting. So nonetheless, we have that match coming up next week. We also have Rey Mysterio versus Andrade in a ladder match, you guessed it, for the United States Championship. Again, why? as much as I would like to see these two in a match, and they're great together, this belief, this narrative that WWE put out after they came out last year and said, we're going to change things, we're going to give you new matchups, we need to shake things up, oh, automatic rematch clauses are antiquated, we're not going to do that. Well, now they've done it twice with Rey Mysterio. Nobody else is fighting for a chance and an opportunity to face Andrade for the United States Championship. Rey just got this, right? How did this happen? I'm not complaining about the match itself. I'm complaining about the massive hole in the story of how did Rey earn this? How did he earn it? Tell me. Somebody. I'm begging you. It's simple stuff like this that they just, when it's convenient, they apply their rules when convenient, not when they should. In other words, they should make it a uniform rule, but nope, we're not going to do that. Rey Mysterio is just getting an automatic rematch clause, and it's going to be a ladder match. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to it, but why? How? Okay, moving on. So that's next week. And Brock Lesnar is going to be there next week. So take that for what it's worth. Brock, it's interesting. He's in a weird spot. Brock doesn't have a defined opponent right now. Brock doesn't have... He has a 29 other man opponent. But he doesn't have the defined opponent that, again, will probably be revealed at the Rumble. So that's going to be an interesting match for the reason of defining who Brock's going to face for the championship. Or maybe... not. I don't know, but that's my thought. Is Brock's there to define who his WrestleMania opponent is? That's probably what that is. Okay. We also got a little bit of Eric Rowan and The Cage as he faced a local talent. And he opened the cage and stuck his hand in and then, quote, got bit by whatever was in there. I don't know. I guess I'm mildly interested. I don't think the crowd's interested. Eric Rowan has gone back to his non-reaction. And I don't know what to say about it. The cage coming around. I mean, I would assume that WWE knows what's in there at this point. He's been carrying it around for quite some time now. And Eric Rowan clearly just crushed a blood capsule in his hand. Which, whatever, duh. I'm right. He didn't blade his hand. And then he gave the Iron Claw to his opponent. I don't even know the name of his opponent. But Eric Rowan ended up winning. And that was that. So I would assume maybe at Rumble or before, we will see the reveal of whatever is in that cage. If anybody is still wondering out there. Okay. All right. Moving on to some other things. Let's see here as I go through. Oh, yeah, the Charlotte Flair and Sarah Logan. So Charlotte Flair defeated Sarah Logan via submission. And after the match, Flair tossed Logan over the top rope, signaling that, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing, right? We see this message. Oh, God, here we go. WWE, be so proud. Get ready, WWE. You're gonna just get a tickle and a little tingle in your tummy. Charlotte was sending a message. Yay, I said it. To her opponents, right? Everybody sends the same message and statements. Message and statements are sent. Don't forget about the statements because they're sent with the messages. That this is what I'm gonna do at the Rumble, and people start. After their match, tossing their opponents all over the top rope. And, you know, that's just what we do. And that's fine because we have no idea how the Rumble works. So, again, Flair, during this match, Flair delivered a nasty boot to Logan's face. Didn't last long. It led to a chop fest between the two. And then back on the inside, a backbreaker, facebuster combo, set up the figure eight leg lock. And Logan tapped the second that Charlotte applied it. I have said this for a couple of months now. It feels like, and I pretty much would bet my house on it, that Charlotte is in a holding pattern. Charlotte is in a holding pattern for someone. And I don't think this is a coincidence that she's just kind of being put with people that are extremely short term and just kind of filling in for and keeping the spot warm for who a true, her true opponent's going to be come WrestleMania time. Now, we have two pay-per-views in between the Rumble and WrestleMania, right? We have, is it Fastlane? No, I'm sorry, the Elimination Chamber. And then we also have a to-be-determined pay-per-view in February that is rumored to be in Saudi Arabia. Don't worry, folks. The WWE has 8 years left on that Saudi deal. Yay, right? 8 years left in that Saudi Arabia deal for all of us hoping that that Saudi Arabia contract would be expiring soon. Oh no, oh no, it goes through 2029. So hooray for that, as more wrestlers apparently have been refusing to travel over to Saudi Arabia. And rightfully so, for not just because of the culture they have there and what happened to the journalist, intentions over in the Middle East, but also because of the shady thing that happened the last time with the, quote, plain mechanical failure that is, honestly, I don't believe it was a mechanical failure whatsoever. And then we're supposed to celebrate that we had the first ever women's match that took them, oh my God, how long to do. And we're all supposed to celebrate a culture that suppressed women until 2019 in the respect of allowing them to compete in a public environment. It's just, the whole thing reeks. It stinks. I don't think anybody loves the Saudi deal. Nobody does. I really don't believe that, other than Vince McMahon lining his pockets and Wall Street going, yay, more money, which means more, the stock price goes higher, which means dividends, and yay, right? That's what it means. It's simply money. It's money only. And you know what? They're a for-profit business. I have nothing to say about that. You're a business. You need to make money. That's what you're there for. You're not a charity. You're not a nonprofit. You're not a municipality. You are a for-profit organization, which means you're there to make bucks. So I understand the logic, but I also understand the hesitation from talent who are like, hey, F that. This doesn't align in any way, shape, or form with my beliefs of what they do over there and how they've treated women up until, quote, recently. That, and they're using WWE as a propaganda machine to put their message, their warped message out there of all the progress we've made. Look what we've done. Yeah. Oh, we're going to kill this journalist on the side. Don't look over there. Look over here. Look over here. Look what we're doing. We're letting you guys compete. I mean, it's such a farce. It really is. I don't believe for one second that they truly have made the progress that they said they've made. And again, the tensions in the Middle East with Iran and all that kind of stuff, it's a bad deal. It's just a flat-out, scary, bad deal. So I would expect to see more talent refusing to go to Saudi Arabia. So just keep that in mind. But anyway, back to the match here. Again, Charlotte's in a holding pattern. There's no other way to put it. And that's fine. That's totally fine. I have no issues with that. All right. Well, a couple more things here. I haven't really touched on the women's Royal Rumble match, right? The men's is stacked. The men's has so many different storylines playing into it and stories within stories. And you have Brock entering number one. Who's number two? You have Roman. You have AJ. You have Orton. You have the potential return of Edge. You know, you have a stacked Royal Rumble this year, and it's, I mean, heavily favoring Roman Reigns, and I think it will still continue to favor Roman Reigns. I think Vegas would probably align with that thinking as well. I wouldn't count out Brock. I wouldn't count out Kevin Owens. I wouldn't count out Samoa Joe. I wouldn't count out Drew McIntyre. I wouldn't count out Edge. CM Punk, I'm not even going to mention because I don't think there's a real possibility there. But there's really, you know, top four or five candidates. Roman Reigns is like clearly the front runner, but there are some others you can make a case for. Even Brock himself winning, you can make a case for that. You can make a case for that. And what would happen if Brock won? right? What would happen? Well, according to the WWE rulebook, Vince McMahon, who won the Royal Rumble in 1999 and threw over Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then the next night relinquished all rights and privileges as the number one contender, those rights and privileges then get transferred to the runner-up. So keep that in mind if Brock does win and relinquishes his rights and privileges as the winner of the Rumble. But just something to keep in mind. So, again, the Women's Rumble, though, it's interesting because I would assume that no champions are going to be involved. Although, I mean, why would they? To me, if you're a champion, you have one of the top two belts, you should not be able to compete. Why are you able to take away the spot? It's like, it's as if you're a champion in a sport and then take up part of the tournament, one of the spots of the tournament, to face the champion that you already are. It doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be able to do it. Just like women shouldn't be able to compete in men's sports, and men shouldn't be able to compete in women's sports. They're separated for a reason. So I don't want to see Nia Jax, okay? I don't want to see her come out to the ring and pretend she can hang with the guys, and we're all supposed to see how big and strong she is. Oh, look at Nia Jax, big and strong. She can compete with the men. No, stop it. Stop the pain. Just stop the pain. Somebody give her a stunner and toss her ass over the top rope. I mean, seriously, someone should call an audible in the ring and just be like, you know, F this. I just can't do this, right? Do you see how I feel about last year's Royal Rumble? But my point is, the Women's Rumble this year is interesting because I do believe you will see the return of Nia Jax, who could win the thing. She could win. I have no doubt about that. I mean, definite possibility of Lacey Evans out there. Could she possibly win? Maybe one of the NXT call-ups, right? Or I shouldn't say call-ups anymore. The NXT women. What if they win and decide to challenge on SmackDown? NXT is now labeled a legitimate third brand, and I feel it's a legitimate third brand. And they deserve to be a legitimate third brand and not just looked at as that other brand that's growing talent simply for the fact of feeding Raw and SmackDown. I think that they are now legitimately their own, and it took 5, 6, 7 years to get there, and kudos to them. But could it be one of the NXT women? Abso-freaking-lutely. Could we see the return of Ronda Rousey? Yes, I think we could. Do we have Ronda Rousey come and win the Rumble? I think that's a strong possibility. Imagine Becky Lynch beating Asuka only to have Ronda Rousey win the Rumble and then, with the foregone conclusion that she's going to face Becky, come out on Raw and face Becky Lynch, right? How cool. People would lose their minds as the rematch of rematches, and no third person this time, just a straight up one-on-one. And Ronda gets her belt back, and the people lose their minds and hate Ronda. It could be a beautiful story. It could be a beautiful story. So if Ronda comes in, she needs to win. On the men's side, again, I'm not giving my predictions so much as I'm kind of analyzing the possibilities. Again, I think Roman is the favorite, no question. Roman's ahead of the pack. He's the top dog in the hunt. I guess that's a pun intended, because apparently he's a big dog, which is just so silly. It's such a forced nickname. But we have Roman clearly ahead of the line here of who's going to win. You have maybe Daniel Bryan injecting himself in if he loses the championship match against The Fiend. Or maybe they don't, so they don't try to stir up feelings from 5 years ago. I would leave him the hell out if I was WWE. There's a lot of possibilities. You have Brock. You have Orton. You have AJ. You have Drew. Right, you have Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, you have guys from NXT, Keith Lee, right? You could have Adam Cole. You could have the guys from Undisputed Era. What about guys from NXT UK? Right, there's a lot of possibilities here, and that's what's awesome about this. And I'm gonna be every buzzer. I'm gonna just think about hearing Edge's music, right? If you know me. And then just, oh my God. just I can hear his music. I mean, I will probably wake up my 1.5-year-old kid with a scream if I see Edge's music. I mean, I've become ingrown to be an Edge fan more than I probably should be, right? And 8 years removed or 9 years removed from his retirement, forced retirement. So, I'm really looking forward to it. I think that this is one of the Rumbles that is one of the more intriguing from so many different levels. And especially from the women's side, and people are overlooking the women's side. It hasn't been talked about too much. But anyway, one thing I wanted to also bring up, and that kind of concludes my Raw review as a whole. I mean, yes, we had Ricochet defeating Mojo Rawley via pinfall. Okay. There's really not a whole lot to say about there. I do like Rawley as a heel. I think there's potential there, by the way. I like Mojo Rawley. He just is a natural a-hole. That's a good thing. That's a compliment, by the way. That's a really good thing. So I like that as well. So that kind of wraps up Raw. Overall, I did like Raw, and it's been consistently solid. I love... Oh, and the War Raiders versus the Singh Brothers, as I'm kind of looking at that. The War Raiders won. Not a whole lot to say. The Kairi Sane and... I'm sorry, Asuka and Becky Lynch. The contract signing. Becky didn't have a whole lot to say. And then gets sprayed in the face after they both signed, and it's official. This is good. This is really good stuff. And then having Becky come on the mic and basically grab the camera and talk into the camera. I loved it. It says that, I mean, she talked about how she may be walking into a buzzsaw, but if she goes down, she's taking the Empress down with her. And she's going to go down swinging. I love it. That felt real. Becky's changed up her colors. She's modified her character from this arrogant swagger, almost cocky, getting obnoxious, to back to a more humble and, hey, Asuka's beat me. I've never straight up beat her. There's something there. And I like what Asuka's doing here. The Mist was great. Nice touch. This whole segment was money. I had nothing. It was simple. They didn't overproduce this. It was to the point. It was easy to follow. So, props to everyone involved. I like how it's not the Empress of Tomorrow anymore. It's just the Empress. Because tomorrow never comes, right? You can make that easy in a promo. That's low-hanging fruit right there. So we have an Empress. We have a Princess. We have a Queen. Right? All right, well, anyway. I have a problem with nicknames that are just nicknames for the sake of nicknames sometimes, right? Is Asuka really an Empress, right? I don't know. I'm going to start getting on a rant that I probably shouldn't. Oh, and by the way, the quality match of Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy. I mean, these guys, I said this 2 weeks ago, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago when they had their TLC match. I could watch these guys in a true 60-minute Iron Man. Imagine that. Imagine the 60-minute Iron Man match with these guys. They're brilliant. They're effing brilliant. So, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Anyway, great Raw, good Raw. I should say good Raw. I'd give it a B, B plus. Good Raw, solid Raw, easy to follow Raw. We're heading full steam into Royal Rumble. And now I want to talk about something that did not happen on Raw, but happened rather in an interview with Sports Kita Wrestling. Triple H was discussing the possibility of names like Edge and Paige returning to the ring as competitors, and said that while he admitted he'd love to see it, there's the health risks involved that WWE is always thinking about, and says that Edge has a wife and kids, and this is the comment that really set people on fire. Paige might have kids she doesn't know about, and kind of chuckled. WWE always wants to think about the human being being first. So Paige did respond and said, "Even my boss jokes about me. No wonder you guys still do it too." And this was not good for Triple H, right? This was a misstep, for sure. Because, first of all, it doesn't make sense. Because that would apply if you said it to a man, right? You can't be a woman and have this even physically possible where you have kids and you don't know about them. Unless, what are you, an egg donor? I know if you're a man, you can knock up a woman and then just leave. But if you're a woman and you get knocked up, you can't leave. You're always with that child, right? So it made no sense from a actual biological perspective. Doesn't make sense. So Triple H got himself in a lot of hot water for this, though, because even Paige's boyfriends, you know, basically trashed Triple H. And you know what? Rightfully so. I mean, even though it doesn't make sense from any kind of scientific perspective, the intent there was to say that, you know, Paige is promiscuous. We all know she's promiscuous. We all know what came out a few years ago. We all know what Paige's her history is. And so it was, they felt that he felt it was just kind of a funny comment to make. But when you're in that position, you're at that level in a company, you can't say that kind of stuff. You just can't. And it wasn't something that he related to a storyline. It related to a real life exploitation of Paige and sex videos and pictures coming out. And that really effed up her life. And you could say, oh, well, she shouldn't have done them in the first place. Well, come on, guys. She is a grown woman, right? She does things in the privacy of her own place. She didn't release them on purpose. People, I'm sure everybody has things that no one wants to see in the real world, right? Everybody. Everyone listening to this has things that no one else wants to know about them. Guaranteed, right? Am I hitting a little bit of a spot now? Yeah. Where everyone's thinking about that one or two things about themselves that they hide from people. Well, in this case, this was exposed for Paige. That, I mean, I read interviews where she said she was in a dark place for a while. And for Triple H to poke at that, even though it doesn't make any sense scientifically, it just wasn't in good taste. People, of course, with social media just lambasted him. And I'm sure that Vince is not happy. And Triple H should have a little bit of slap on the wrist here. Should he be fired? No. But he should put out some kind of statement. Oh, I said statement, guys. Yay, WWE. Do I hear clapping? Yeah. But he should put something out there so that it's, you know, he recognizes and acknowledges that I shouldn't have said what I said, right? Even if he doesn't feel he should, just to kind of calm the waters. And I don't know. So it just wasn't in good taste, even though I didn't find any offense to it because I'm not, a social justice warrior snowflake. I still get why at his level and the intent behind it, even though it made no sense, was not good. So not good. But again, the good thing about WWE and the good thing about today's people or today's social media and today's news, people forget about it in a few days, and they go to the next thing that's a controversy. So this will go blow over even if Triple H didn't say anything. It's not good for the relationship between Paige and WWE, and it's not good publicity for WWE as a whole. So, anyway, people are thinking that he'll make an apology on WWE backstage. That's what I'm reading right now. I mean, maybe. Sure. I'm sure there will be some apology issue. He can't not go through with apologizing, even if it's a half-hearted one. So, all right. Well, Renee Young came to her defense and several others. And, right, you know, that's fine. That's fine. I agree that he should apologize for the simple fact that it's not good for the WWE publicity and really good for people to think that it's okay for people to continue to poke fun at Paige for what happened to her, right? Not that I care or I'm offended by it. It's just as a human being, I understand the human element of it. So, all right. Well, as I'm closing this out, guys, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for being a listener of the show. This is a lot of fun for me to do now on video. Thank you guys for watching on video. For those of you on Patreon, you are getting a video podcast. And I want to thank you for watching if you're on Patreon and listening if you're anywhere else. You can hit me up on CastBox, Spotify, Spreaker, Apple, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, TuneIn, anywhere that podcasts are available. I will be there for you. So hit that download, hit that subscribe, give me a rating and review if you're so inclined. It really helps out the show. I want to thank you guys, all of you that have done that already. Thank you so much. And again, I'll be back tomorrow with a co-host. I believe I have a co-host tomorrow. I'll have to double check with that individual. And also starting a 3-part series on the Rock versus Austin rivalry that obviously went WrestleMania 15, WrestleMania 17, and WrestleMania 19 that concluded in Stone Cold Steve Austin's final match in Seattle, Washington in March of 2003. So we're going to build to that. It's going to be a great 3-part series as we go into real, real, just top-notch, gold standard, platinum-selling nostalgia. That's what this is. This is the top of the top to me, which is Rock versus Austin. You could say Austin versus McMahon, but in terms of wrestling quality and matches and in the actual story told, there's nothing better than Rock Austin. There's just not. It's just science. I mean, seriously, you could probably do a scientific case study on this of how Rock versus Austin is just simply the best. So we're going to do a 3-part series beginning tomorrow, which I'm super excited about. So I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, a lot more shows coming this week, not just nostalgia, AEW, NXT, and then our review show on Saturday and a 7th show being announced this week as well with a new host for the WWE podcast. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for watching. I'll talk to you next time. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.